Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, November 9th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 15, the first paragraph, My Wife and I, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Sharon W., 12 Traditions, Martha M. The reader of the text this morning will be Shelley E., and Lisa B. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Brandy M. The reference number for Sunday, November 8th, special edition, is 15,739. That's 15739. And for this morning, Monday, November 9th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 15,742. That's 15742. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Leslie M. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sharon W. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. This is Sharon W., recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sharon W. I will now ask Martha M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for your service, Dawn, and everybody have a great day. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Martha M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There are no abstinence requirements for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. On page 15, the first paragraph, my wife and I, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Shelley E. to begin reading. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. This is Big Book, page 15. My wife and I abandon ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. It was fortunate, for my old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, during which I found little work. I was not too well at the time and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Many times I have gone to my old hospital in despair. On talking to a man there, I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. It is a design for living that works in rough going. Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. I can relate, obviously, to this paragraph in many ways. And the first way for me was the skeptical for a year. And I can remember when I first started the program, kind of getting the smile and nod from my family because they had seen me go through and lose weight so many times and go through so many programs. And I remember when I first started this, it was kind of the pat on the back, like, yeah, you just go on with that. Luckily, at this point, they can see the results and they appreciate the changes in me and have developed a healthy respect for program. And I'm so grateful for that. In fact, anytime I say, oh, you know, I'm going to take a call or make a call, it's kind of like, please, please do, you know, do whatever you need to do. This is fantastic. Stay on the road to recovery. And I'm grateful for that. And this paragraph describes for me a design for living that really works. It really works for me. It's imperative that I reach out to my fellows, and I'm and be there for them. And it is amazing. It does amazingly lift me up and set me on my feet as I'm listening to them and talking to them. It does as much for me as it does for them. And to me, it's always incredible how by helping someone else, I'm indirectly helping myself and feeding my program. And I have to say, it is a design for living that works in rough going. And I'm grateful for all my fellows that walk this walk with me daily. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. I will now be opening up the line to take names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Lisa B.
Lisa B.
Luann B.
Luann B.
Denise J.
Denise J.
Chris M.
Chris M.
Elaine G.
Elaine G. Let's go with that lineup. Who is that?
Janice K.
Janice K.
Paul L.
And Paul L.
And David.
Let's go with what we have here. Lisa B., Luann B., Denise J., Chris M., Elaine G., Janice, and I didn't catch your initial, and Paul L. And we'll pick whoever else was your voice there. We'll pick you up on the next round. So Lisa B., if you would go ahead and share with us this morning, and if you would please share the state or country that you're calling from so those who wish to could contact you from our member list. So good morning, Lisa.
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone that's there. My name is Lisa B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. And this is such a great reading for me because when I was newly recovered, and that was an amazing experience, you know, I realized something has happened inside of me. I could tell that I was different. I had neutrality around food. I felt that I had a connection with my higher power in a way I've never had before. But I was still at moments, you know, at times frustrated with my life. And I was just dissatisfied in many ways. And I called a fellow on this line that I really respect, and I consider her a mentor. And I wanted to talk to her about my frustration with my husband, you know, and I wanted to go into all of it in great detail. And she was very polite. And then she asked me a question. She said, how many people are you working with? How many sick and suffering compulsive overeaters are you trying to take through the work? And I said, one. And she shared with me that her experience was that working with others needs to be a little bit more than slightly inconvenient. And that the spiritual malady for her was so big that the only thing that really can treat her, other than the steps and all of that, is working intensely with others. And she encouraged me to read this paragraph, and she took me to this paragraph. And I could see that I had waves of self-pity and waves of resentment. And I think I thought, you know, once I got recovered, all these things are going to go away. But it's the same problems, you know, it's just at a deeper level. But I have a solution today. I have the 12 steps, and I can share with you, after 4.5 years now of doing this work, intensely working with others, that those problems that I talked to her about, they've all been removed. And I tell you, my husband has not changed. You know, my life has not changed other than COVID and the pandemic. But, you know, everything is here the same. It's the same line of work that I've had, the same home, my same family, my same childhood, you know, all of that. But it's working with others that, and I can see it's the seasoning that my recovery needs. It's the baking process, you know. Once I'm recovered, I really need to hit the road running and intensely work with others. It solidifies it, and it keeps me safe and protected. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. Luann B., will you share with us now, followed by Denise J.? Good morning, Luann.
Good morning. This is Luann B. from Northern California. It's my first time sharing on this call, so bear with me. The lines that stood out with me, you know, I was not too well at times and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. And it just reminded me of the first year of recovery is so hard. And, and it's like, well, how do you do? How many times did I call up my sponsor crying and wondering what I'm going to do, how I'm going to deal with this stuff and the depression and the overwhelmingness and the anxiety? And this paragraph is funny. This is the first time that I actually seen this paragraph. I mean, I've read the big books a few times, but, you know, they just added this paragraph for me. That this is a good direction on what to do. Then you got to go work with others. And I have found that to be true. For me, every time I have a new sponsee and I get to go through the steps with them, I learn so much more about myself. It helps me more than it helps them. I don't know. You know, it's a two-way street, and it's been wonderful. And I get to see my growth when I help with others, when I help others, because I can see where I was and where I'm at now. And there's been a lot of changes over the years, and it's been wonderful. And it gives me, this paragraph allows me to help my sponsees when they're in that first year of how hard it is and getting the waves of depression and self-pity and resentment this is what you need to do. It takes the pressure off of me to have to try to figure out how to help them. I don't need to figure it out. You know, the directions are right here. And I like that. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you thank you so much, Luann. Luann B. And now we'll have Denise J. followed by Chris M. And please tell us where you're calling from. Good morning, Denise.
Hi, this is Denise J. I'm from the Chicagoland area. This is so interesting. I'm listening to this. Is it odd or is it God? This passage. I currently do not have any sponsees. You know, I started homeschooling my son last fall, and I will tell you that it was very overwhelming. Well, he's back in school now, and I've talked a little bit to my sponsor about, boy, I wonder if I should sponsor. Where would you fit it in? I love hearing that it needs to be more than a slight inconvenience. I think that I hear my higher power talking to me, because the truth is that I do believe that this is a design for living that really works. And I love that. I love that when I'm in self-pity or resentment, or, you know, I've got a program that will help me, that I don't have to stay in the muck, right? Well, part of that is sharing it. And we are a 12-step program, right? Not an 11-step program. And recently, in the work that I do, I'm kind of in health and fitness, I've come across two people who I think could use this program. And the interesting part is that I have to be a fellow, a fellow outside of my profession, and making sure there's a distinction so that I can serve them outside of my profession. And I'm seeing how they need help. Now, I would never be their sponsor because I'm too close to them. But you know what? There's somebody out there who needs a sponsor, and I need the sponsor. So you guys just teach me every single darn time I get on here. So thank you for what I needed to hear, and I needed to hear today that it needs to be more than a slight inconvenience. And with that, this is a design for living that does work, and it works when you work it. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Denise J. Now, Chris M., will you share with us, followed by Elaine G.? Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. It's Chris M., and I am from, I'm just outside Toronto in Ontario, Canada. So I hear this whole paragraph has totally resonated with me, but you know, my wife and I abandon ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. That kind of reminded me of myself finishing up the 12 steps, or, I mean, 11 steps and jumping into 12 and like, okay, I'm supposed to sponsor. So, you know, super enthusiastic and started actively seeking the sponsee, and it just wasn't happening. So I was starting to feel frustrated and talked to my sponsor. And of course, she told me to take it to my higher power, and that's what I've done. So she also reminded me that there's other ways that I can help other people. So, you know, my self-will, as always, steps in there, and I need to go to my higher power for guidance. So, you know, things aren't going to happen in my time. And, you know, one thing that I realized is that, you know, in my effort to, you know, find this sponsee, I started losing some of the important aspects, like making phone calls and doing other ways of service. So I think that was my higher power talking to me. So now my focus is, you know, working my program, and my higher power will bring me the right person to sponsor in his time, not mine. But, you know, in making these outreach calls and doing acts of service, It really does. This line here, I found when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. And so that just sort of leaped out at me today. And there's many ways to do that. And I'm grateful for that. And with that, I pass. I'm happy to be here today.
Thank you so much, Chris M. And now Elaine G., will you share with us, followed by Janice? And please tell us where you're calling from, Elaine. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Elaine G. from Turbulent Weather in Florida. There are two things that jump out at me here. The first one is where he says, my wife and I. And that, to me, says a lot about support from my fellows, support from my sponsors, and reinforces the fact that in addition to our higher power, we are not alone. And the second thing was, I soon found that all other measures failed. So it tells me that he was doing other things, trying to keep his soberness, his sobriety, our abstinence, before the realization was, I really need to work with other people. For me, what I want to share with you today is that the huge gift that I have in my life from my higher power is not something that I want to keep to myself. I often tell people when I speak to them that they have no idea of the miracles that are on the other side. And for me, the other side is in recovery. That gift, for me, not to give it, would be truly self-centered and truly selfish and be the epitome of having my character defect of me, I, right at the top. So it's integral to share. It's integral to get over a fear or worry that you can't do it right. There is no wrong way. We lean into our higher power. We lean into our fellows. We lean into other recovered individuals. We lean into our sponsors. And together we can share the magic, the mystery, the beauty that we have in recovery. At least that's for me. Thank you so much for allowing me to share today.
Thank you, Elaine G. Now, Janice, will you share with us and tell me your first initial of your last name, and you'll be followed by Paul L. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning. This is Janice K. from Oregon. Oh, boy. What strikes me, it reminds me of another story, one that's not in the big book. And that's the one where someone, maybe Lois, I've heard the statement credited to a number of people. And the situation was that Bill was fussing and carrying on because he couldn't get anyone to stay sober. And the response was, but Bill, you are sober. And what I'm finding, I've been a dedicated listener to Vision since, January of 2020. So I am a relative newcomer. But I have found that everything you say between the fellows and the book, everything you say is so. Life happens the way you and the book predict that it will. And now you're telling me to sponsor or slide into relapse. And yeah, oh, I gotta admit, you guys are probably right. And I have been reaching out. It's really been a burden on my heart. I need to reach out to my locals, to my non-visionaries, because there's such a lack of hope out there. And so I make it a point to attend as many local meetings as I can, and I speak my truth, which is that when you work and live life on steps 10, 11, and 12, there is a fourth dimension. When you work it right, abstinence becomes the easier, softer way. And touching that fourth dimension changes things. If you think, you know, you have nothing to offer, once you touch the fourth dimension, it's no longer you who's offering. It becomes a power greater than yourself working through you. Well, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. And now, Paul L., will you share with us? And then after Paul, we'll be opening up the lines for taking more names. Good morning, Paul, and share with us where you're calling from, please.
Good morning. I'm also from Florida. I'm Paul, compulsive overeater, and we're in the Northeast, where if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes, is what they say. So I'm really happy to be on this meeting. This is one of the meetings I listen to while I work, and I try to contribute, you know, when I can. And my experience is definitely weighed with self-pity and depression. I'm 4 months abstinent, but I'm in another fellowship for a very long time. And, you know, with mental health and illness and all that stuff, I don't have expectations of that going away completely. But when it does, I know that it'll pass. And I know that working with someone else definitely is. You know, my sponsor always says, turning our thoughts towards God. You know, we identify the defect, turn our thoughts toward God, and ask how we can be helpful. And that's just not how I can be helpful once during the day. It's how I can have a helpful attitude all throughout the day, smiling as much as possible, being positive. People are not attracted to people who carry, you know, if I'm down and miserable, people aren't attracted to that. They, you know, but I do talk about, as much as I can, I talk about, you know, my problems with overeating and how I've, not so much how I've overcome it, but that I have. And then the people are interested, they'll ask how, and I'll tell them. And that's carrying the message. I do get frustrated sponsoring people because a lot of people I sponsor, last person I sponsored is just dragging, and I have to make the calls, and I have to do this, and I have to make them do it. And I'm just not going to do that anymore. You know, if somebody wants it, they'll do the work. Because I did everything that was asked of me as soon as possible. And that's what I expect from people that I sponsor. I don't do 4 months or 5 months, four steps. It just, you know, it tells me they're not serious. So I take this very serious. I luckily didn't have to hit the bottom that a lot of people have, but it was bad enough for me to feel miserable and hate myself. And that's why I'm here. And I don't hate myself today. You know, I'm getting better. I got a long way to go, but I do. These meetings make me grateful because I forget about gratitude sometimes. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul L. And now we're going to be opening up the lines to take more names. We're on page 15, the first paragraph. It starts with my wife and I, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Larry G. Yes.
Laura M.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. I'll take a couple more names. else would like to share? Ann B?
Lorraine N.
And Lorraine N. Okay, let's stop there. Okay, I've got Larry G, Laura M, Deborah G, Ann B, and Lorraine N. Larry G, good morning, and please share where you're calling from this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm calling from California. My name's Larry G. Oh, my God, I can't think of a better way to start a Monday morning. I used to wake up prior to May 17th when I came to Visions and was chronically relapsing. I would look at my daytime and say, oh, God, not another meeting. And today I wake up and say, thank God for this meeting. There's a passage in the Big Book that says you can't transmit something you don't have. A sick man cannot sponsor a sick man. And I tried the best I could in the 26 years I was in OA. I never saw myself as a food drunk. I saw myself really as a problem drinker or problem food drunk that could manage my food through exercise and the steps. And I, early on in Visions, there was a woman, Terry O from Oregon, said that she knew a binge was coming and she couldn't stop it. And so many of my days started with binges. And there was really no mystery why I was not successful in sponsoring men in OA. I was successful in AA, but not in OA, because I was not entirely abstinent. And today I am, and I'm having the timeline of my life. It's not convenient. Sponsoring is not convenient. It takes time and effort, but I feel like I'm selfish by doing it because it's saving my own skin. And I'm doing some things that are different. My brain has been defogged from flour and sugar and excessive amounts of food. And what I'm doing differently today is I'm detaching from the results. I literally have no investment whether that person stays abstinent or not. It's totally up to them. There's nothing I can do or can't do that can keep them abstinent. All I do is deliver the message. And the second part is so easy. Just I follow the instructions of the Big Book. I do exactly as my vision sponsor. When she took me through the Big Book from May through August, it's so simple. I have no stress. There's no angst. There's no I'm not fighting this person or anybody. It's their decision, just like it's my decision. And who am I to judge someone who doesn't stay abstinent? And I'm not going to be one of these people, well, I'm going to fire you if you don't stay abstinent. No, I'll work with this person as long as they want to work with me, because it keeps me abstinent. And who am I to judge them? I was chronically relapsing the last couple of years, and people were loving me and working with me. And I had one woman in my face-to-face meeting. Thank you. I appreciate your service, and I'll stop there. I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Larry G. And Laura M. will now have you share, followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. This is Laura M. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, wonderful. Hi, this is Laura M., recovered in Florida. You know, when I've read this Big Book over the years, I've heard so many people talk about how Bill's story is their favorite part. And, you know, I never understood that until this particular time while we were going through Bill's story. It has just spoken to me in so many ways that it never spoke to me before. And I'm so grateful. And in this paragraph, when it talks about, I was not too well at the time and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink or eat, if you will. I find that, of course, when it talks about surviving certain trials and low spots, this is something that still ebbs and flows, which is why the 10th, 11th, and 12th, of course, are so important. And I was just recently coming through this over the weekend. I had some things come up for me that I've been journaling on and you know, working my steps and working the program through. And here it is Monday morning, And I was sure to get on a meeting last night and do service and be on this meeting this morning. And usually when I'm plagued by these waves of self-pity and resentment, I realize I'm now then being dominated by the world and its people. And I don't necessarily pick up to eat, but I do decide, you know, which step to engage in and what to write and who to call. And it's so true. As soon as you find that when all other measures have failed, you work with another alcoholic or food addict, and that will save the day. And it does. It just puts me right back on my feet. And I do feel lifted. And this is a beautiful design for life. And it truly is, when you work it, it is the easier, softer way. For me, I know those trials and low spots, they're going to keep happening. And it's going to ebb and it's going to flow. But to have the tools to meet that and address each thing as it comes up, and to be honest enough to stop for a minute and say, wow, I'm having all these emotions. This feels a lot like being dominated. And as soon as I say that set-aside prayer and I get right back to work and I reach out a little more and I get out of myself, each and every time, that feeling aligned and grounded and exactly what is God's purpose for me comes back. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for your service and have a wonderful day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Laura M. And now Deborah G. will have you share, followed by Ann B. Good morning, Deborah. And if you could tell us where you're calling from.
Oh, good morning. This is Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you, Dawn, so much for being of service and all those that have been part of making this meeting possible behind the scenes. Thank you so much. And I have to honestly share that I recently relapsed because I wasn't honest. I wasn't honest with myself. And I need to ask God to be willing to be honest and to be honest. And my sponsor took me this morning. I'm working in step one again, and really looking at my honesty in step one. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that work that I'm doing today and call other fellows and share my experience with that step one honesty experience, and then ask them about their experience. And I feel in doing that, that I will also be helping them. And I'm just really grateful for this program. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. And now we'll have Ann B. share, followed by Lorraine N. And Ann, if you could share where you're calling from. Good morning.
Hey, this is Ann B. I'm calling in from Tarrytown, New York, compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 16 years. And I'm remembering this conversation I had in a meeting once where I was working with this woman who was emotionally disturbed, who lived in a shelter for emotionally disturbed women, who had another addiction, who ended up in prison, who ended up in hospitals. And when you looked at this person, you could see that something was seriously wrong with her. But she did lose 70 pounds while I was working with her until, you know, she was in prison for a certain amount of time and ended up relapsing. But And one of my fellows who really didn't understand this step said, look at the kind of people you're attracting to yourself. And I'm going, I'm abstinent and this person isn't. and you know, I do like to work with people who are absolutely hopeless and they don't necessarily recover. I mean, I worked with this guy who died on top weight 800 pounds and it was tragic. But I'm still abstinent. And I remember the gruesome death he died of, compulsive overeating in the hospital. And people think that people are going to die of a heart attack, and you wish they would die of a heart attack, because dying of sepsis and kidney failure is kind of worse. And absolutely, I'm still here. I worked with those people, even though they smelled, even though they were crazy, even though, you know, they were hopeless. And those people who wouldn't work with that kind of people are not. So I'll pass.
Thank you, Ann B. Now, Lorraine N., will you share with us? And then we're going to open up the line and take a couple more names. And good morning, Lorraine, and if you could share where you're calling from.
Good morning, Dawn. It's Lorraine N. From Oregon. Compulsive eater, sure. Yeah, this paragraph, for me, I have a lot of this underlined, but yeah, even in recovery, I have waves of self-pity and resentment from time to time. So I am constantly, I mean, you know, that just didn't happen like when I was working the steps. The self-pity and resentment comes back, and not as much as it used to, but it is certainly still around. So, yes, the thing that helps me and surprised me the most was working with others. I never got to that point of sponsoring before in any program. You know, I just, you know, hung around long enough to lose some weight and I was out of there. So when I made the commitment to really do what my sponsor asked me, to follow through with the process of working the steps, which I did so kind of intellectually because I really didn't feel very spiritual at the time. I was just desperate, and so I was willing to do the process and see what happened. And, you know, to this day, sponsoring keeps me out of the food. I take solace in the fact that Dr. Bob had the craving or the obsession for a couple of years after he got sober, because I do still get the obsession occasionally, and it's, if I get it, it's always at night, because that's always when I ate compulsively. And now I have tools. I do turn to the phone. I'll text or call, and first I pray. I just say, God help me, and then I go to the next action. But it took me a long time to reach that point. And I just want still suffering compulsive eaters on the line to know that today, after 69 years of struggling with this addiction, I'm maintaining a 40-pound weight loss, most of the time happily and with neutrality. So it can happen for you, and I want to leave this meeting with hope for people. That just keep coming back, you know, and keep listening. There's healing here. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lorraine Ann. Now we're going to open up the lines again. If there are two more people who would like to share, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And we are on page 15, the first paragraph, my wife and I. Commenting on that one paragraph only. Are there two people out there who would like to share with us?
Karen.
I heard Margo.
Karen.
Yes.
Okay, Margo and Karen. And what's your initial, Karen?
Karen H.
Karen H. Okay, Margo, if you'd share with us this morning. And is that Margo P?
Margo P, yes.
Okay, very good. And tell us where you're calling from, Margo. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for being on this call. I have not been on the call for about 4 or 5 days, and I need to be on the call to hear myself out because I'm a compulsive overeater and I live in Florida. And, yes, working with others, I still have my sponsor for the grace of God, you know, and being honest with what I do with my daily plan, with my action plan, with my food plan, with my step plan, you know, and that's what it is, because it's a design for living for me, and I know I cannot do it alone. And I don't have a sponsor. I mean, I don't have sponsees, but I'm open for sponsees, but I'm just grateful for today that I still work the program. And I recently lost my son like 3 months ago, and so for the grace of God, I'm grieving, but I'm not eating compulsively because my old way would take me there. And I'm coming from a 225 pounds just for today, and I don't have to go back there and stay focused on my recovery. So thank you. This, I too, shall pass.
Thank you so much, Margo P., and we're so sorry for your loss.
You.
Karen H., will you share with us this morning? And please tell us where you're calling from.
Thank you. This is Karen calling from the suburbs of Chicago. Windy, beautiful day today here. been in program almost all my life since a teenager, and was until I started the Big Book Way 10 years ago that I found something that I had never been able to find before, which I'm so incredibly grateful for. To the degree to which I work my program 10, 11, and 12 is to the degree that I have peace and serenity. I know that for sure. To the degree that I do that, that God is in my life. Came in atheist, agnostic, and he will evaporate if I don't do this work. Last week was a very, very rocky week for me, and still work my program, but I work mostly 11-step program, not a 12-step program. I feel the difference. The gratitude is like Joe and Charlie says, he doesn't want to find out how long it will take to get back to where he once was. And I feel the same way. I know what was missing. Didn't feel I had the emotional or physical energy to do it, but you know what? It's not a should do. It's, for me, a must do. And if I must do it, if I wish to continue to live a recovered life, to live in peace and serenity, if I choose not to, as I did last week, then I will get what I once got, which is a lovely black cloud that hangs over my head, which is aside from the compulsive overeating, because compulsive overeating, the food, the weight, was not necessarily my problem. It was the solution to my problem. What was my problem is I had a chronic black cloud over my head. I was not well related to self, to God, to other people, to life, to living. I was disturbed all the time in one way, shape, or form, and I do not wish to go back there. So to be reading this paragraph is really powerful for me because, you know, I have, I know what the solution is, and I, if I wish to have what the first 100 had and what I have had, then I need to do what the book says. There's no suggestions. There's only must if you wish to live a recovered life, and I do. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Karen H. And we do have time for about a one-minute share. Is there someone out there who would like to share who hasn't shared in the last few days?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Go ahead and share with us this morning.
Okay, cool. my name is Jordan L. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, where it's snowing. Woohoo! So, luckily, I was very blessed to have had a group of men and women who exemplified the 12 step, and those were my mentors. They were who I was watching when I got here. And so what I watched them do was set aside their own sort of problems in order to help newcomers. It was emphasized very much so that this was the reason that we keep coming back is it's not for, it is for ourselves. But after a while, it becomes about the newcomer. It becomes about showing the newcomer, demonstrating for the newcomer what it is, how it is to get out of that black hole, right? and I love that last line. It's a design for living that works in rough going. Because I had always... I'd always thought that sponsoring was something that you did when you had some time or when you had like figured this out, you know, after you had figured this out, then you go and pass it on to other people. And it's actually the exact opposite. It's telling us that right here, it works in rough going. So I actually do this in bad times. Even if it feels like I have nothing to offer another human being or another compulsive overeater, if I have 60 days time. And you only have 30, that's something to offer right there. So thank you for letting me share this morning. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Jordan L., and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. We're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lisa B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Lisa.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.